Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump
day.
Hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Oh, good over here, Bunk, as we are halfway to the weekend.
Halfway there?
Halfway to the week. Living for the weekend. Feeling kind of springy outside. Don't like it because this is how folk get sick. So make sure, you know, you ain't out there with your joints out, because that, like grandma say, that pneumonia get up in you now, thinking that it's back summertime.
You'll be out there with your joints
out. Yeah, cover them toes. Cover them toes back up. Cover them toes up now.
Also, I don't know if you looked at the forecast at all, but early next week is going to be awful.
Yes, I saw that.
There's like a low of 26.
Yeah, man. Nobody got time for that, man.
It's too early for that.
You know what I'm saying, man? Yeah. But yeah, luckily.
So enjoy the weather today.
Yeah, enjoy it. But yeah, make sure you keep them toes covered up, man. Don't let that pneumonia get up in you, man, because you're out there thinking, ooh, it's warm. I got kids like that. Like, that ain't that hot. Like, okay. My son told you this in August. Had a full hoodie sweatshirt on.
Yeah. Other
day,
jeans.
And jeans. Other day, short sleeve. He went there for Halloween. I don't know what look this is, but Isaiah had it on too, where they wore like a collared button-up shirt, khakis, and a jersey on. It was some kind of, I don't know what it was.
That's like somebody's introductory press conference.
I don't know what it was, but I mean, it was crazy. And then I look, and Isaiah had the same. They both had their
That's what Walt Weiss had on.
They both had their Jimmy Butler jerseys on up under this outfit on Halloween. Both of them did, though. That's the thing about it. Isaiah,
like a button up shirt,
like the Geek Squad shirt,
yeah,
that kind of white shirt,
okay,
with the Jimmy Butler jersey on it and khaki shorts.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's an odd look.
It's very odd. How do you think I feel when he came downstairs? I'm like, what the hell you got on, boy? And he's like, man, him and his buddies were wearing it to school.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, whatever. And then I look and see my boy, my Isaiah, who goes to West Georgia, he had it on too.
Huh.
So I was like, oh, all right, man.
Okay.
Whatever's clever, man.
All right.
With y'all, man.
Got it.
Just stay out of damn trouble. Just stay out of damn trouble, man.
Yeah. So the NFL trade deadline came and went yesterday. A lot of moves got made.
It got pretty
saucy there around 4 o'clock from some of the other teams. Jerry Jones made good on some of that hype. Quinnen Williams.
He had to.
He couldn't just be the linebacker from Cincinnati for a seventh round draft pick. It had to be something big, and it was. And the Jets made it pretty clear that they're starting over. They traded pretty much everybody. Not everybody,
dude,
but pretty much everybody.
Did you see who was it? If I'm Breece Hall, I'm pissed.
I know. Get me out of here.
If I'm Breece, I'm pissed. Now I got to go look at, like, hey, can y'all give me the contract?
Right.
Or something?
Because, I'm a running back. It's a short shelf
boy,
life here.
That was the funny one yesterday.
I thought he was going to get onto a good team.
I'm talking about, it just seemed like out of all the players that were trading us, I thought he was, like, number one for the Jets.
Sure.
But I think this, like if
did,
you,
they, did they trade the pass rusher?
No,
Georgia,
I saw,
Florida State.
I saw this morning that like people were offering a two for him.
Really?
And it wasn't high enough to.
Okay.
But yeah, and it's weird to watch. But I'll say this about AG. He got he coming from over with Detroit with Dan Campbell. This is the same thing happened his first year pretty much in Detroit.
Yeah.
And then they make the move and they drag, because all their core. You talk about the Detroit Lions, where he came from, and that GM also is all Detroit Lions draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
The best, their core. That's their core. They sprinkle some guys. That's what he's going for.
Yeah, and a lot of those picks came with the Jared Goff trade.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like they were able to acquire some. That was the blank them picks era of the Rams.
Yeah, man.
And they were the beneficiary of that. I took that as good news for Aaron Glenn.
Because it looks like they're like,
he gets to be a part. He gets to be the coach of the rebuild.
Yes, and then to get rid of those players. When you're in a locker room and you know there's a top dog ranking and everything, who you look at as Mr. Untouchable, you know, all those different things. When you get their ass up out of there, that like trickles down in the locker room.
Sure.
Like, well, hell, they get rid of Quinnen. damn sure get rid of me. Let me get myself together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, but the Jets, you know, they got all these first round picks. Now, they're going to be a relatively young team still. Obviously, the first thing they got to do is go get them a quarterback of the future. We understand that part. But yeah, Dallas, I mean, you go out and get Kenny Clark, you go get Quentin Williams, so you're interior, then you get this linebacker, Logan. So that's that triangle in the middle. Yeah. That's strong.
Yeah, and their defense desperately needed help.
You can't cover what they got in the back end.
No, man. I don't think you can. I don't think it's enough to fix what they have going wrong.
No, you can't cover up those corners, because if you didn't watch what the Arizona just did to them the other day, yeah. Even having Trayvon Diggs, who still mysteriously got a concussion at home and is out for 2 weeks still, might break and hit him over the head with a damn shovel. But I mean, when you go back to that, yeah. They're awful, but Jerry had to do so. Jerry had to put his money where his mouth was. His picks where his mouth was. Mm-hmm. And then you look at it, I mean, you give up a 1-2 for Quinnen. I'm still digesting this Sauce Gardner for 2-1s. I mean, Lou Amoreno is a very good DC.
He is.
He's a very good DC.
With the defensive back's background.
Yeah, so if he can't – I mean, not saying – because Sauce is still a good player. I don't want to say he's not a good player, because he is a good player. He ain't do 2-1s good, in my opinion.
His play has dropped a bit over the last
because
year.
Because they don't let him get away with what he used to do.
Yeah.
He's a mauler.
That's right.
Yeah, and they start calling him.
You know who else is? And again, he's a very good player. And I guess maybe really good players, partially they have this in their game when they're a really good lockdown corner. Christian Gonzalez is a handsy dude, man.
Yes.
He's holding London like crazy.
But that's the thing about it is when you're on that island and you're a bump and run man-to-man coverage and you're a bigger corner, that's what you got.
Yeah. It goes back to the old, like, Legion of Boom, Richard Sherman mentality. They're not going to call everything. Mm-mm. They'll call some of it. They're not going to call all of it. And if I get away with it and get an interception out of it, great.
Hell yeah. And that's what you take. Like not everybody is Little Pat. Little Pat is just as big as those dudes, but he is twitching all those different things. And so he's able to match up with the smaller and bigger receivers. But, I mean, you got a guy here in AJ. AJ is just as good as those guys, in my opinion. You know, he don't get a lot of opportunities because they go the other way.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the Colts, they're in this thing where
– I do think the other way has been better this year, too. I think Dee Alford's had a nice year.
He's been playing pretty good.
Yeah,
Andy.
It's unfortunate that Billy Bowman hasn't been able to play the last few weeks, because he was playing pretty well at the start of the year, too, as a rookie.
Yes, he was.
It's been nice to see Dee Alford make some progress, obviously. Still a relatively young player, inexperienced player.
Yeah.
Playing a lot better this year, for sure. He had that pick against Buffalo, and I think he's like second or third on the team in sacks, randomly. Mm-hmm. They're bringing him on blitzes, and he's getting home. Falcons didn't make any trades yesterday, though. Not a huge surprise. I mean, they're not in the position to be selling, like the Jets and some of these teams that are going to start over. They're not in a position to be going for it, like the Colts and the Seahawks and other teams that
the Colts are going for it.
Bolster their roster. They're kind of in the middle, which is where they've lived for about a decade now, unfortunately. And, you know, doesn't seem like they're going to be getting out of that middle anytime soon either.
Well, I mean, you know, you win your way out of that, you know. And the way this team is playing, it doesn't look like they'll win their way out of it. Now, they have just as good chances as they had last week against a good football team to win, because, you know, the Patriots are a good football team, and the Falcons – were a missed extra point away from maybe going and extending that game and having an opportunity. They still had the opportunity to win the football game late in the game. But your absence of certain players put people that shouldn't be on the field. And, you know, third down, gutsy call by them, but it really wasn't gutsy. They schemed it right. They knew who was going to be in the game.
They identified number 40 and they threw at it.
Dude, he didn't even move, Bunk. Like, didn't move. Like, let me start. Because I saw the – you know what? We're not going to do that. It's a happy Wednesday. It's a happy Wednesday, Bunk. It's a happy Wednesday, Bunk.
What's got you mad?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. I'll tell you in a break, then you tell me if I should say it.
Okay.
But you know, you're becoming my filter.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're
that's dangerous.
Yeah, you're becoming my filter of certain things. Okay. So I'm just like, yeah.
No, I mean, we don't have to lie about the guy.
It ain't lying.
Okay.
It's eviscerating.
Okay.
We'll just leave that. We'll just leave that where it is.
All right.
But I think, you know, when you look at this team going overseas.
When do they go? They got to be going like today, right?
I would think they leave today.
Yeah.
I would think.
They left yesterday. Oh, they leave tomorrow. Okay.
Oh, okay. Tomorrow. Oh, yeah. I thought so. They probably leave after practice tomorrow. Head
okay.
over there.
Okay.
Okay. Because I mean, you know, we know my man Mike Silver wrote that article because this, like, London used to be a week trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those overseas trips, it used to be a whole week.
Too many people were yeah. taking advantage
yeah,
of that.
Man, yeah. It was a whole week. Like, yeah.
I have a couple thoughts on that sort of in general. Just the idea of going all that way, right? Like, that's a long way.
Yes.
Berlin's a long trip.
It is.
Right? And it's shorter from here than from other places, but like, you got to change your whole week around mm-hmm. to do this, right? Mm-hmm. They're probably moving practice around a little bit. Of course, they're going to, that's a long flight. Everyone has to arrange that. They're going to get to Berlin, then they got to get to their hotel, and then they have to try to have a normal, like, it's a lot of work to get your ass kicked.
Yes, it is.
So let's not do that.
How about that?
You know?
How about that?
Like, don't get your passport stamped and you probably learn some German phrases. You're going to try some new foods. Don't do all that just to go over there and get stomped out by the Colts.
No.
That's a lot of effort just to get your ass kicked.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, you might as well stage your ass here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going and then you're on the stage. I know it's a, it'd be 9:30 in the morning here. But I mean, if everybody's up, it's the first game of the Sunday, and so you know by the time all the other games start, we'll know if this team won or lost, got their ass whooped or upset the Colts, or you know, then you got to go through the whole damn Sunday with that on.
It's the exact opposite of playing on Sunday Night Football or on Monday Night Football, where you get to watch those other games with the optimism of, oh, and my team plays tonight.
Yes,
that'll be fun.
Yes,
if you lose that first game, the whole Sunday sucks. Like, it's hard to watch all of the rest of the games knowing that your team. Now, conversely, if they play good, then the rest of the day is great.
Yeah.
It's like the NCAA tournament when your team is like the early window on Thursday and they win. And then every game for the rest of Thursday and Friday is fun knowing that your team doesn't play again until Saturday. And maybe there was one more recent than this. I could be wrong. But the last one I recall the Falcons being over there was Ritter really kind of showed us who he was.
Yes,
right?
Jaguars.
Yeah, threw a bunch of picks and was like, oh, God, this is a disaster. Like, you know, clearly the quarterback situation is better than that now. But it's a tough team, man. The Colts are good. They're playing
good
really well.
They're
going all in by going and making the trade for Sauce Gardner and trying to take advantage of this little window that they found themselves in. So, you know, all that to say, like, the Falcons are in a really tough spot right now, going a long way, playing against a really good football team.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah,
it's going to be a
tough game. I think the biggest thing, they're watching a lot of the Pittsburgh film right now, and, you know, Pittsburgh did something. They were able to shut down Jonathan Taylor. They were able to get up ahead and get them out of their comfort zone. They were able – I know the receivers had nice days, but I think when you look at how you don't have a Jalen Ramsey here. They put Jalen Ramsey one-on-one with Warren, and that's right up his wheelhouse when you do a situation like that. But the turnovers was the biggest thing. Can you go and get those turnovers? Can you force Daniel Jones, who still as great as they've been, still a lot of people still like, that's Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
You know, they're still
– He is still Daniel Jones.
Yeah, you still look at him like he is still like Daniel Jones.
I know. With certain guys, and it's because they earned it. Same thing with Darnold. Like,
yeah.
Darnold's finally now kind
of – yes, he's coming out of
working
it.
I was like, all right, never mind. He's just good now.
Yes.
Like, it took a while, but he's just good now.
Yes.
I'm not there yet with Daniel Jones.
No, I'm not. I don't think the league is yet because we have a solid six-year sample. And we have
Baker was the same thing. Yep. It took a couple of years. It was like, all right, fine. Baker's good.
You got a 6-year sample of Daniel Jones, but now now it's up against like a 10-game set. So you're like, well, you know.
It is amazing how often this is happening right now in the NFL, where it's just situation, you know? And it's always the same ones. It's Panthers, Browns, Giants, Jets.
Yes.
Like, if you're in one of those spots, it's just really hard to be good.
I heard something this morning. It was so funny. If they were talking about Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl, would they blow up New York City? It's like, oh, God, too. I mean, just got ran out of New York
ran
City.
Ran out of town.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. They played awful. But I guess it wasn't entirely them.
Yeah. That's what it's showing you.
That's what I was thinking yesterday.
Your organizations are a joke.
With all the Jets stuff, it's like, with all those picks, they got to get the quarterback right? They got 7 first-round picks in the next 3 drafts.
They can draft 3 quarterbacks.
They could. Just draft the 3 guys you like the most, and one of them's got to be good, right?
That is one of those from the top trickling.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. First hour of this show, the midday show with Andy and Randy, is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back and tell you what's trending here on a hump day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about the one that happened yesterday. We got to put ourselves in more favorable situations to get the third downs. You know, when you go third and 10, third and 12, third and 9, any quarterback can tell you, especially the one sitting behind you, how tough those situations are. We want to get those things. We're in more manageable third downs to be able to get those things going, particularly in those opening drives and starting fast. We had a couple drives there where we didn't use a third down. You know, had a couple drives, and then we got to the red zone. You're able to actually go for it on fourth down. So you got two down territory and things of that nature that make those things manageable, things that we can absolutely win. So those are the steps. It's like starting faster, being able to run the football more efficiently, having the ability to have not get behind the stick, so to speak, and really, you know, keeping in that mode. Because when we get in those situations, we're in the third down and medium window. We got a lot better chances of being able to convert those things.
Yeah, I mean, you got to drill it down, though, to the essence of the issue. Like, yes, they're 1-for-10 on third down. Over the last 3 weeks, their third down percentage is awful. Like, yep. The worst in the NFL.
But what has it been?
But why? Why is that? Because it's third and 10. Well, yep. Why is it? Because every first down play has not worked. You're not getting positive yards on first down, or if you are, you're not getting very many. Well, why is that? Because the offensive line's not playing very good. And I think that's, I mean, it tends to boil down to the same stuff. Like, yep. When you're not playing good, you're trench play.
Yep.
When things flipped for the Falcons on Sunday against the Patriots, it's when the D-line really started playing better and winning some of those battles and making Drake May uncomfortable. The offensive line just, you know, injuries happened. I get that. You were without, you know, both of your starting guards by the end of the game. You're already on your third string right tackle, and there's been communication issues with your center and your quarterback and the rest of the offensive line for about a month now, but that's why. That's why all this stuff is happening. It's because that unit's not playing good.
No, it's not. And that's got to be, you know, especially when you want to play a certain style, a certain way in football. Well, I mean, if you can't block for your running back, you can't have success in that aspect of it. And so, I mean, we could talk about, you know, Zach trying to find creative ways to – like, when you have backups – and when you have backups in this kind of system and scheme, it helps them so much more because there's always a body inside of them. I mean, a body next to them, especially if we talk about the guard position. Not saying that these guys are better than Chris Lindstrom, but it should help you more because of the simple fact is that you're not having to do a lot of base one-on-one blocking. You know what I mean? You got guys coming with you, y'all stepping in unison and things like that. So it should help a little bit more. But, you know, I mean, Zach can only call so many. I mean, some of the calls they take the ball off the line too deep a lot of times with Bijan, like with those sweeps and stuff and everything, yeah. And it's just so he's like 8 yards back.
He's got to get 8 yards to get to the line of scrimmage.
It's so hard to hold a damn block, Andy, for that long for him to get outside. It just really is a hard thing for anybody. And so, you know, you got to do more downhill things. You got to get Tyler Algiers more involved. You got it.
He's got 10 carries in the last three games.
But there's not a lot of plays anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
that's true.
You know, if you're trying to force him.
And that's because you're not getting yards
exactly,
on first down.
Exactly. What did we see Monday? The Patriots had 15 more plays or mm-hmm. something like that. But, yeah, you're not getting enough plays in to be able to utilize somebody like that that can help you loosen up the defense so you're able to make plays down the field.
Yeah, Tyler Algiers is only going to get more carries if the whole offensive operation is working better.
Yes.
Like, he's a beneficiary. When you see Tyler Allgeier's carries up, that means everything was working.
Yes.
They're not just going to hand it to him to try to get things going.
Right.
He gets the ball when everything else is functioning. And that right there is about all you need to know. Is Tyler Allgeier's had 10 carries in the last 3 weeks. Yeah, of course, they lost all three of those games.
Yes.
And didn't have much going because offensively.
Because it's not going
for it,
because it wasn't going right.
Because the offensive operation is just not, it's just not flowing. We'll get Dave Archer in here in about 10 minutes and get his thoughts on what happened with the Patriots, start turning the page for the Colts as well. The Falcons did make a couple of moves yesterday. Obviously, you know that they released Romo, the kicker. They brought in Zane Gonzalez, so he'll be the kicker this weekend and hopefully for the rest of the year. They also added offensive lineman Andrew Stuber to the active roster, which could be a little bit of a hint that one of the guards that are supposed to be starting might not be starting on Sunday, which isn't great.
Yeah.
Those are some of the moves that they made yesterday. Let's hear how the college football playoff, the first edition of the college football playoff rankings came out last night.
Georgia's 5, only lost to Alabama. Is Alabama 4, I assume they are? They are. So Alabama is number 4, so that leaves Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, 1, 2, 3. We talked about that. Joey has an idea, but it is A&M, Joey, who you said you'd have number 1. A&M is at number 3.
That is surprising to me because of the analytics, because of the record strength, because of the schedule strength. Texas A&M is ranked in both those metrics above Ohio State and above Indiana. I'm surprised that they're at number 3.
And to your point,
we got it.
Just dorkified every damn thing.
That's your fellow.
Oh my God!
Fellow former player there,
oh
Joey.
My God! Oh, Joey been gone a long time, bro.
You lost him.
Yeah, we lost you. We lost Joey years ago, dog. Yeah.
I love Joey Galloway.
Yeah, I do.
He always seems a little irritated.
I like Joey.
I
like Joey a lot, man. I like Joey a lot, but nah, we done lost him, man. He been in TV too damn long. But no, I mean,
Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3.
That's what I said yesterday. I was like, why wouldn't Ohio State be the number 1 team? They're the best team in the country, in my opinion. I mean, you can talk about all the dorkified percentages and all that because you know why? That's what the College Football Committee told you what they base where they're going to put these rankings at.
Right, they did. They told you that they were going to use the strength of record.
Yeah, they said this.
And then they didn't.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm like, whatever. Exactly. I'm like, whatever.
That's the thing that happens every year that is so funny to watch is they kind of give us a new little rundown of the thing that they're going to value the most.
Right, right.
And then the first ranking, they don't do it.
Exactly.
And then everybody freaks
out. Exactly. So I was like, dude, they got sponsors for this thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got sponsors for this.
They want you to watch.
Yeah. That's why, man.
They want Home Depot needs you to tune in and watch.
Yeah,
Old
man.
Dominion Freight Lines, you know?
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, you know. only surprise that they didn't have a Group 5 team in the top 25. Tennessee is the highest ranked 3-loss team. I saw that. But other than that, yeah, this first one.
Miami, well behind
Dude,
Notre Dame.
You remember yesterday I said,
well
you remember,
behind
you remember when I asked the question, they put them way back there.
Yeah, which,
I was like,
recency.
Whoa. Okay.
You know,
I just, you
who's
know,
playing better now, that
I,
kind
I
of stuff.
Yes, man. I'm just, and I understand their coach is awesome. I just don't think Notre Dame's good. I'm sorry. I don't think Notre Dame is the 10th best team in the country. I'm
I think
sorry.
They're good. I don't think they're
– I think they were better last year than they are.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. I do like that quarterback, though. I know he's you know, he's a freshman, but I think he's going to be good.
He probably will.
How much of that is shaped by what happened this past Saturday?
No, it's been like that for
okay, me. Yeah.
They did play really bad.
Yeah, they played bad.
They'd been cruising for a couple weeks.
30-point favorite against
something like that.
Against you see Billy O go off on the media?
No, what did he do?
Billy O just lost it. He lost his blank on the media.
He just had it?
Yeah, and I don't blame him.
That's a good
– you got it, bro?
Hey, I'll say this. That's a good place to be a bad college football coach because nobody in Boston cares about college football.
Yeah, man. Billy O.
They're not holding his feet to any fire.
Billy O lost his –
what is he so mad about?
You know how he is. You're losing.
Well, yeah, they're 1-8. Somebody asked him about it.
Exactly. You know how we get when one of them dorks down there from .com asks you a question. It is probably a reasonable question, but you're so damn mad because it's him asking the question.
So, this guy better not raise his hand today.
What the hell you think why we got doggone lost? Well, you know what? You the expert. You tell me why we lost. You know, that's how
and the question was just like, hey, Bill, can you tell us about your thought process on some of those third down calls?
That's basically what it is. Like, you just lose
the most basic, reasonable question.
And then you lose on a kid. Oh, the kid. The Hawks won last night. The reason I said that because I want to get to this clip right here.
Yes, yes.
Bo, could you play this for
Desmond
me?
Bain deserves to be in jail for what he did last night.
Now a long pass up ahead to Onyeka, and he goes up and got fouled, knocked down to the floor by Desmond Bain. Bain is a dirty player, and he just showed it right there. Bain's going to get a flagrant foul on this. Desmond Bain, who's been known for this kind of stuff in his career, he should be thrown out of this game. That should be a flagrant too. Desmond Bain, a dirty, rotten player.
Rotten.
He's been that way his whole career.
Get his ass,
and he just showed it in a Magic uniform. He's kind of restrained himself with the Magic so far, but he returns to Desmond Bain right now with a dirty, rotten play. It's going to be looked at, and it will be. If it's not a flagrant two, there should be an investigation.
Get his ass, Steve.
Oh, God.
That was a ragged-ass play that he did, though.
It was a ragged-ass play. Not only did he pull the guy down, he threw the ball
at him, man.
It was a dirty play by Desmond Bain.
Yeah, I was like, with Steve, get his ass, Steve.
Great God. Nothing better than Hawks basketball being back and Steve Holman on the radio.
Yeah, getting hot.
Getting hot.
Yeah, getting hot.
What's fun is, like, I know Steve, like, always kind of gets after the superstar players for some of the calls they get. What I love is when we find out, I had no idea that Steve hated Desmond Bain. But now we know. Now we know. They've got some guys on their team. The Wagners, both of them, are kind of pretty dirty players.
They're physical ass team.
They'll Bruce Bowen sneak their foot underneath when you're landing and stuff like that. So Desmond Bain just fits right in.
Yeah, man. But they did get the win last night. Shout out to the Hawks,
Hey,
man.
They played.
They played good last night.
127-112. They won a couple in a row. They're back to 4-4. You love to see it.
Good for them. Hey, guys, tonight and each Wednesday night, join our guy Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes. Making news in high school sports across the state is brought to you by Ingles. Low price, low savings. That's Prep Sports Nation tonight on 92.9 The Game.
Dyson Daniels is such a good defender. I know that everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But he was just such a pest last night. That play, you've probably seen the highlight.
Yeah, nice offensive night, too.
Yeah, he did. He whatever was going on the first couple games, rust or whatever, he seems like he's played his way out of it. He was 8-for-9 from the field last night. Only had 2 steals. Feels like he had 10. But, yeah, man, he's locked down. All right, we'll grab a break. Dave Archer's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk some Falcons with him. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Not in the game.
Oh, man. Okay. This sounds about somber as the Falcons are right now. But, I mean, we got to hitch a ride on a jet plane.
They don't have any.
Going across the pond, baby.
Boston doesn't have any Germany songs?
Yeah, we.
Okay, I get it.
Oh, yeah. I like this right here, man.
Well, Dave will be.
Go over there and get you some strudel. And
Dave will be hitching a ride with him.
Yeah.
When they take off tomorrow to head to Berlin.
I got a question, though, Dave, because obviously you're the broadcast team, you're in the West, and Squid Billy. Is Squid Billy going to be in the middle seat from Atlanta to London? I mean, Atlanta to Berlin.
I hope not, because he's a little bit like, you know, I love the clip you just played of Steve Holman getting after Desmond Bain. But that's who Bo is. He's the little brother that'll pipe off at somebody and then he'll run behind you and stand behind you and stuff like that. So I hope he's not. He's probably sitting between us, and that means he's going to be into everything that, both of us got going on. So yeah, but he said, I love the Steve Holman, one of my all-time favorite guys. Known Steve a long time. And boy, my man is not holding back. I don't know if I can get Wes to do that. I want to get Wes to do that. I don't know if I can get him. He did taunt some of the New England fans this weekend on the John Robinson catch and a couple of Drake London catches, but that was a little out of character for him, so that was pretty good.
I love that. I love to hear that from Wes. I mean, Steve's in so many Hall of Fames now. Like, you know, he can do whatever he wants at this point. Let me ask you this before we get into some of the football. You guys are headed to Berlin. What's the number one food, drink, whatever German item that you're thinking about consuming when you get over there?
Well, it's like Randy would think. It's the first beer I can find.
Yes, sir.
A German beer of some kind. Yeah, I've got to find a German beer that either I can get over here. I'm also going to figure out, is Heineken, is that like an American beer that the Germans don't claim, or yes, is that a German beer that they brought over here? I don't know.
I think it's more an American beer that kind
of. That's one of those ones. If you got it over there,
yeah,
they kind of look.
Yeah,
at
it looks
funny.
Like you're funny. Okay. That's like that. Hey,
okay, so I'm gonna verify whether
that's like Blue Ribbon over here.
Their beer or not.
Oh, like Pabst.
Yeah, like
I'm gonna verify if it's their beer or not. Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, make sure you get the biggest mug you can, Dave. Sit down on one of those long wooden tables, and then just rock back and forth, Dave.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
make sure you do that. That sounds good to me.
Sure
play a little Boston, going to hitch a ride. Little Boston, a little hitch a ride, and we're going to have some beer. I love you.
Dave Archer good. Joining us here, as he always does on Wednesdays at this time, brought to you by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Let's get back to the Patriots game, and then we'll look ahead to the Colts game in a few minutes. But there were some really good offensive drives in that game, Dave, and then there were others where things just kind of couldn't get off the ground. What were you noticing in the drives that really went well for the Falcons versus the number of three and outs that they had?
Well, first thing that jumps off the page are circus catches by guys. You had London had the three in the red zone, Bijan Robinson's catch in the left flat that was just an unbelievable grab. I think that, you know, it's hard to put your finger on something that you're really excited about when you only run 25 plays in the first half. So that's the part that has you a little bit scratching your head. I think the thing that stuck out to me a little bit more than anything was that Penix's willingness to get out of the pocket. I think that's something, and I've talked about it, you and I, we've talked about it in you guys' show. I know I've talked to some other guys over the last month or so. So Michael's got to do that now. I mean, when stagnant, and he's got to be that extra athlete on the field off. And I'm hoping that some of his success getting out of the pocket this last weekend, he had the really good run where he looked like the fastest guy on the field, and he is a very dynamic athlete. People don't seem to realize that. And then his get out of the pocket there at the end of the game, I thought he had actually made the play of the game by getting out of the pocket and finding Drake on the sideline.
Yep.
To get it to the plus 48, I thought, here we go. We're going to get in field goal range. We're going to win this football game, even though we really haven't been on the field much on offense. So those are a couple things. I mean, I've gone away wanting Andy more than probably anybody over the last 3 weeks on what we're not doing on offense.
Is it, Dave, when you look at it, because they're not running a lot of plays, and, I mean, that's that time of possession, you know, getting them off the field. Also, the success that you want your offense to have on first down. What has it been on these early downs, Dave, that they have been so much in third and eight plus?
Yeah, really a lot of negative plays. Randy, you're exactly right, and that'll be one of the things I'll look for and probably be a key to the game for us is our inability to stay out of third and long situations. I think our first five third downs were eight-plus yards.
Damn.
On third down. I think three of them were third and tens, and you know as well as I do, the percentages on converting those are down in that 10% range more often than not, whereas New England converted eight of 12 third downs, but they were in a lot of manageable situations. So we need to do a better job of winning on first and second down. Now, how do you do that? Obviously, you'd like to run the football with some success, but as soon as if you're Zach Robinson and you run the football and it's 1 yard, and then what do you do now? Now, do you throw it? Now it's incomplete. Now it's third and nine. So he's been caught in a little bit of a quandary there because of the ineffectiveness in the run game. I'm hoping he's come up with some counters to, and not just to play a counter, not just a counter play,
right,
but counters to what we're doing. you know, try to take away the ability for that second level of defense to be aggressive where they can come downhill in the run game, something other the other way. Maybe it's Penix coming out on a bootleg, a little bit more of Penix moving his launch point, some of those kind of things.
And he made the play of the game to change things at the end of the first half. Jaylen Walker did, forcing that fumble. Just a noticeable difference with him on the field versus off of it the last couple of weeks on that side of the ball. What have you seen from Jaylen Walker early in his rookie season?
Well, we finally got a taste of what he would look like if he was close to 100%. And nobody probably at this time of year is 100%. He's been nursing these soft tissue injuries for several weeks now, almost probably into months now, all the way back to training camp. I thought you got a version of Jaylen Walker in the 90s, the 95 percentile, and you can see how disruptive and destructive he can be. Working against Will Campbell, who I talked to some New England people. They're excited as they can be about Will Campbell. They think he's one of the best left tackles they've seen in New England ever. And he just got walked back into the quarterback's lap by Jaylen Walker a couple of times. Of course, Walker's timing and the explosive and speed. He's got that speed to power stuff that we talk about where he can get around the corner on the stunts. He had that three-man stunt that created the fumble. He's just his closing speed. I mean, boy, if that doesn't get you excited about what he can be and kind of reignite what you thought you had when you took him 15th overall, it did for me. I can't wait to see him on the field this weekend.
Dave, why are they having so many issues on the second level of this defense as far as, you know, coverage? Different. I know Devon Diablo, he kind of, in my opinion, Dave, you can tell me if I'm wrong, he allowed Caden Ellis to do different things.
Yeah, no, you're right, Randy. And the thing about Divine Diablo, guys, and I know you guys have talked about this a number of times. Think about the acquisition of Divine Diablo from the Raiders. He played, you know, back and forth, started some last season. He was on the field quite a bit for the Raiders, had 60 plus tackles, but not a guy that was a sought after free agent. Mm-hmm. But Jeff Ulbrich saw him, and I talked to Jeff about him. And he said, I had a couple of guys just like him in New York, and I thought he fit exactly what I wanted to do defensively. And I think Ulbrich's the only one that really realized what he could do in the defense. Even the coaching staff and maybe even the personnel department said, okay, yeah, we'll sign this kid, you know, former safety out of Virginia Tech. We'll bring him in, see what he does. He fit exactly what he wanted to do opposite Caden Ellis, and that's the coverage stuff, the sideline-to-sideline stuff, the blitz from the middle, all the things you want to do. He was so good at it, you can't find anybody else to do it. They don't have anybody else on the team that can do it now. And so if you missed on anything, it was finding a Divine Diablo backup to have on the roster in case Divine went down. And I don't know if you can plan for those kind of things.
Right.
But now they're having three different guys try to do what Divine Diablo was doing for you. And frankly, they're not getting it done to the level that Divine was.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy talking Falcons. Let's talk about the quarterback from a big picture perspective. That was his 10th start. What are you seeing from him as far as development? What do you feel like Penix is better at now than he was last year at the end? And where does he need to make some more development as well?
Well, there's a lot of room to grow, Andy. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that little things that don't necessarily he's got to settle down a little bit. I think he gets a little unnerved from time to time, and so you'll see the flat-footed throw. I think he's got to continue to work on his footwork. As a shotgun quarterback or a pistol quarterback, especially as much as he played that in college, I think it has a tendency to make your feet go dead. Mm. And if you notice sometimes when he makes bad throws or low throws, or the ball sails, his feet are dead. He doesn't reach that. When you drop to throw, your feet are naturally alive. So he's got to make sure, even though he's maybe floating back a couple of steps in the pistol formation or shotgun, he's got to keep his feet alive. I think that his willingness to make some throws are coming more and more to life. The guy can throw the ball to the sideline. There's probably four or five guys in the league that can shoot the ball to the sideline on that deep comeback route to the wide side of the field like he can. I think he's developing a timing for when that's supposed to come out. But still, there's a lot of room to grow. He's got to learn situational stuff like the grounding call at the right end of the game. That's something that, you know, and that's a tough one, right, Randy? You get one of those deals where, okay, I'm going to send Kyle Pitts across in motion. And so I've got to get him to clear the center before I can call for the ball. And Javon Gwynn's looking back to make that signal in the silent snap count. And he's still looking back. And all of a sudden, Neusel snaps the football just as the tight end clears. And so my mind frame is, I can't take a sack, I can't take a sack. And the last thing in his mind was Kyle Pitts going across in motion. So he's going to look that way and try to get it to Kyle. Well, Kyle's running a vertical, so he's getting up the field. So the throw's nowhere near Kyle. He know it, Bijan's to his left. I mean, all that stuff you think, well, why didn't you just throw it to Bijan? I would like to put everybody in that position and make that decision with 315-pound Leonard Williams gun right in your grill as the ball hits you in the chest before you're ready for it. But he does have to be a little bit more situationally aware. I think he continues to grow in that area as well.
Dave, you're going over to Berlin, playing against a team who is playing better than a lot of people thought, obviously coming off of their big loss last week in Pittsburgh. Tell us about these Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, they're better. I think people think they're just a running team. They got Jonathan Taylor. If you look at their numbers, they lead the league in passing. Obviously, the numbers with their scoring is outstanding. So you get a pretty good matchup there, the leading pass defense against the leading pass offense. They've got three guys that have over 500 yards receiving, including the young tight end out of Penn State, Warren. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor and what he's done. But I think their defense is a scrappy group. I don't think there's anybody you point to in particular that jumps off the page, but their two linebackers, Pratt and Zaire Franklin, mm-hmm. are run and hit guys. They can get to the football, and Nick Cross, a really good safety that comes down in the box. So they've got a really nice group of 11 guys that play well defensively. They're not giving a lot of big plays up, so you got to go earn it.
Arch, enjoy the trip, man. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, Dave.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to get you a beer, Randy.
All right, make sure you do that now.
Dave Archer,
gotcha, bro.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst, former quarterback, headed to Berlin tomorrow with the team as the Falcons get set to take on the
Indianapolis
Colts.
Is this the first game
in
Berlin?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it is.
Okay. That's what I get.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would have been, I mean, I'd go.
Hell
I'd
yeah.
Go next time. I'll go to Berlin.
If they would tell us, if they said that we could have went, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. Now, how much of this is not coming out of my pocket?
Oh, I don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to do
it's
that.
It's like the Vegas one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll go.
Yeah.
Y'all got it, right?
Yeah, no, I don't mean I want to do what Mike's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike's doing a fun trip, going with his buddies and all that, and that sounds fun too. No, we'll go broadcast next time.
No, I don't want to go broadcast. I'm going to go.
Oh.
Yeah. I just want to go.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, look, we got through those Vegas broadcasts.
Yeah, I just want to go.
Somehow.
No, yeah, I just want to go. But think about it. The time change, we would be broadcasting at what time?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, what time?
I don't even know. Yeah, it'd be much later in the day.
Yeah, it'd be later. Yeah, it's a six-hour difference.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right.
So we'd be
I'd be doing nights again.
Yeah.
I'd be happy hour.
I'd be happy hour. Yeah.
Perfect. About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right? When we go on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
There's a restaurant near our house that does happy hour from 4 to 5 where they have dollar wings and good drink specials and stuff like that. We've gone enough times now where last night Lily was like, hey, can we go to happy hour? And I was like, that's a hilarious thing
love
for
it.
Five. He just means, for the wings.
Yeah, okay. What does mommy and daddy have opposite of wings?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to have something with your wings.
You give me a one-hour happy hour with wings and beer.
Yeah, you can do some damage in an hour.
I'm going to do some damage to myself. I'm talking about double fisting.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about wings and beers.
Plus, also, you can take what you don't eat home.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I don't think you can order like crazy.
Oh, that's what
you
I'm saying. I mean? Give me 100 wings.
Yeah, give me 30 orders of wings here. Pack them up. No, I don't think you could do that.
What are we going to do? Dukes and Bell. Like, this Thursday, join Dukes and Bell at Buffalo's Cafe and Hiram as they get you set for Thursday Night Football. They're broadcasting from 2 to 6. That is that is Buffalo's Cafe up in Hiram. Dukes and Bell will be there on Thursday, broadcasting live on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Apparently, Heineken is a Dutch beer.
Yes, I know that part.
It's a Dutch beer, not a German beer.
But it's German. It's all German, man. Not German.
Arch says it's German. It's German.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. You know you know how I am with, well, actually people. And he's lucky I like him.
We got a couple of them. Yeah. I got some dudes in the DMs. We got it.
So
I just didn't want to correct Arch and have the interview off to an awkward start.
You know
start.
What, dude? Who cares?
I don't.
Like, damn.
Apparently in Holland, there's a Heineken with a black star on it instead of red. Like, the red star Heineken is North America. There's a Heineken in Holland that's a black star. It's a much better beer, apparently.
Like, you have never said anything just as wasn't all the way right. Now, do I go in your DMs and, well, actually you?
Yeah, I'm going to listen in on your next Zoom call at work. You make one mistake, I'm hitting you up. I bet you could get a Heineken in Germany, too. I bet you can get one.
I bet you can, Andy.
I bet you can.
Along with Coronas and everything else.
We do appreciate you guys letting us know, though, and listening. We'll be right back. NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.